Glory to God. Amen. Hello. Going back. Amen. Amen. So glory to God. So we're gonna try to get through this today. So we'll go. I'm gonna try to not do expository preaching because we'll be here all night, but it'll be a little bit hard for me. But you know, I was at the beginning of the week, I was praying, I was talking to somebody at work, and I'm like, I don't know what I should minister on, because we're not traditional theme type church. And amen. You know, I was like, well, you know, should I continue with Matthew 25? And I'm praying about it. I told him, well, you know, the Lord will give it to me. And then right when I went back to my office, well, not right when I went back, but when I went back to my office, he gave me something. So we'll pick up on Matthew 25 later next week. So the title of this message is Because He Lives, I Live. And, you know, I was, praise God. You know, I'm a part of this online Georgia Bulldog group. And, you know, there's a particular, don't get me started, Phil. I'm going to try not to look at Phil. But, you know, I'm a part of the group. But anyway, you know, we communicate, we talk about our day. And I'm like one of three pastors in there. And we pray for one another. We you know, we'll each give prayer requests. But anyway, I talked about how they know we have services on Saturday night. And I talked about the title. I gave the title of the message, and I gave the scriptures that we're going to go into. But the other pastor, one of the other pastors came back, and he says, because I gave the titles, Because He Lives, I Live. And his title was Because He Lives. And he's coming from the same scripture, actually. So that was just confirmation for me. Amen. So for those taking notes, we're going to hit a few scriptures. All right. So the first one's going to be 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll probably go from 1 to 21. And then we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. And then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Amen. And we will hit some other scriptures in there, but those are the foundational scriptures. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we could turn there, and when you have it, say amen. So nobody must have a phone app because nobody said amen that quick. But that's okay. Hey, look, it's good. I love to hear pages turning. Exactly. I love to hear pages turning. Amen. 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 All right. We there?
Amen.
All right. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So that word vain means empty, devoid of truth. And you'll see as we go through this scripture here in 1 Corinthians, the word vain is mentioned or referenced at least 5 times here, right? So Paul says here in verse 1 and 2 that he received, that they received. So we can't stand upon the word unless we receive it. And see, it's not just receiving it in our head, but it's both actually receiving it in our hearts and our heads. Amen. Right? Because what are we standing on? We're standing on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. So in order for us to stand, we have to receive it. And not only do we receive it and stand, Paul says to the Corinthian church that they must hold fast. Meaning that, look, there are going to be some people that are trying to snatch what you received from you. And see, when we go into 2 Corinthians, we read about how there were some ministers that came in that tried to snatch what Paul and the other apostles taught the Corinthian church. So let's keep going. Verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also preached, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So we know that Christ, what? He died, he was buried, and he rose again. See, we have to understand, and I came to a conclusion as I was studying this week, I don't believe a lot of Christians understand the power of the resurrection. Because if we actually understood the power of the resurrection, we wouldn't be doing some of the things that we were doing. Amen. Right? Now, here's the thing. When Jesus died, I died with him. Amen. When Jesus was buried, I was buried with him. When he rose, I rose with him.
Hallelujah.
Right? So I'm no longer that old person. Right? So now, how do I stay risen and how do I live? I stay risen and live by crucifying. That is being buried. So we recognize the baptism that is a outward symbolism of us being dying, being buried, and raising, being risen from the grave. Like Jesus. So why do we have so many believers that are walking around as if they're still in their old nature? Because there's only one way. They don't know the power of the resurrection. Because it's actually the power of the resurrection that keeps us from going forward and continuing to doing the things that we used to do. And see, we have a habit of not discussing, and when we witness to people, we don't witness about the resurrection. We witness about the birth of Jesus, how he was a baby in a manger, all these things we see at Christmas time or Christmas cards, and guess what? Those things are not even biblical. Because by the time the wise men got there, Jesus was a toddler. And there was more than three. Right? But we take all these things in, and we're like, okay, this is... No, we have to talk about the resurrection. We talked about it, I think a couple weeks ago, Revelation 14, 6, about what the gospel was. 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. John the Baptist, what did he talk about? In Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to see him, right? And were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Judgment. That's another thing. That's the gospel right there. His resurrection and judgment. But we don't want to talk about that. Right? We want to talk about, oh, Jesus loves us. Jesus loved you. He was born. He came. He loves you. No, we have to talk about the judgment of Christ.
That's right.
See, I remember, I reflected back for, actually earlier today. Shortly after I got saved, and I may have told this story a while back, but I was in the Navy, and then we had to have a place that we worked. And I worked in the restricted back. Those are people who were who got in trouble and didn't get in serious enough trouble to where they had to go to the brig, but they had to stay in a restricted area, right? So I was one of the people for when it was time, my duty time to come. I think it was like once every 8 days or something like that, that I would go there and stand watch. But anyway, there was a young lady there who was working for me there, and she said, you know, Wickfall, she started asking me about what changed in me. And without even knowing, you know what I started talking to her about? The judgment. The judgment. I hadn't been saved that long. Right? I may have attended a new believers class, but I started talking to her about the judgment. And guess what happened? That led to more questions coming from her. Right? And then she wanted to know more. And then here's the thing. See, reason why we don't talk about judgment, because we're like, hey, we don't want to scare them. No, we do want to scare them.
Amen.
And guess where she was the next Sunday? In church. In church. Why? Because I talked about the judgment of Christ and his return. So that scared her enough to come to church the next week and the following week and so on. Now, I don't know where she is now, but the bottom line is we have to learn to talk about the judgment and stop talking about the love all the time, because guess what? The judgment is a part of his love.
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. All right, verse 5. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And we're going to come back to that later on. But, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So let's stop right there. 1 Corinthians here was written about AD 55. Most scholars say Jesus' crucifixion was about AD 33, roughly. So this is not even 25 years. But yet, they're saying, Jesus, some of them are saying, hey, they don't believe in a resurrection. So why would I not think that almost 2,000 years later that people today would believe in a resurrection? Because this is the church right here that he's speaking to. He's not speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking to the church right here. Right? And you know what? I reflect on that. When we went through 1 Corinthians, we see all the sins that the church was committing there. And that's the reason why. Because a lot of them didn't believe in the resurrection. See, if you don't understand and have a revelation of the resurrection, now you're going to start doing what you used to do. Amen. And then now you're going to start conforming to the world. See, we have to die. We have to be buried. And we have to live. Why? Because he lives, I live, we live. And guess what? If we're still out there pretending to be the world, doing the things of the world, then we don't understand the power of the resurrection. Amen. And we're no different. As a matter of fact, I am going to say, if you don't understand the resurrection, you're probably not a Christian. Because you have to have a revelation. There is no way you can stay saved, live safe, without understanding the power of the resurrection of Christ. Amen. 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. So in other words, Paul's saying, look, we are all liars. If Christ did not rise from the dead, he's saying me, I'm a liar. If I preach this, and if I preach about the resurrection, if we witness about the resurrection, but if Christ did not rise from the dead, then we're liars. But see, that's what separates Christianity from everything else, everybody else. Why? Because Jesus rose. Amen. Jesus rose, and he is alive. Yeah. And guess what? We have to show that he rose, and he was alive, that he is alive, and he lives in us. Yeah. Why? Because the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. So how dare we sit up here and talk about, oh, I'm struggling. I'm going up the rough side of the mountain. No, you walking around defeated. No, no, no. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. Amen. And I don't think Christians understand that. Because this is why we as a church, sometimes we don't have joy. Because we don't understand the resurrection. If we understood the resurrection, no matter what, we know that God is in control. God is all powerful. Regardless of what I face. Guess what? I receive. I stand. I hold on. Why? Because he lives. I live. Verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain. And you are still in your sins. So if Christ, that means if Christ rose, you should still not be in your sins. Because it sins with an S at the end, meaning plural. So why is it we have people in the church, leaders, committing sin after sin? You know, I reminisced with somebody this week about, well, I guess it is reminiscing. But we discussed, because we used to work in the Youth and Family Crimes Unit together. And we discussed, and I'm not going to go into details, but we discussed about a particular case that we had about a particular pastor and how he committed a certain sexual sin. And he did with a juvenile. But here's the kicker. He did it in the church. Here's the problem. There's no fear of God. That tells me he has no idea about the resurrection. Because you can't have a fear of God and not understand the power of the resurrection. See, but yet we got people doing these things all the time, over and over. See, we shake our heads, right? So you know I just set you up, right? So what about the fear and the anxiety that we hold on to? When he's saying, look, I've given you everything. I raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And guess what? The same Spirit that raised Him from the dead dwells in you. So why are we still holding on to those things? Doesn't mean that they might not try to come and attack us, but it has no legal right over us because we have the power. But yet we see Christians walking around depressed, all these things. They don't understand the power of the resurrection. That should not be. Because if we understood the power of the resurrection, we'll be coming out, we'll be walking, just like I talked about a couple weeks ago when Israel left Egypt, coming out strutting. Because we know who we are.
That's right. Amen.
So stop being deceived by the enemy. Stop walking around, woe is me. No. Hold fast to the power of the resurrection. Because that's what the enemy's trying to take from you. That's what he wants us to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. King James has miserable. So look at that right there. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. No, we have more than hope in Christ. Why are we only telling people about hope in Christ when we're not talking about the power of the resurrection? Because he's saying if we only have hope in Christ, then we'll be people miserable. No, we have the victory. We have the victory. We have the victory. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to try to get through this today and get through my points. I don't usually have points. Ephesians chapter 2. When you have it, say amen. Well, that was quick. All right. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 19 through 22. Here we go. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Right? So because he rose from the dead, and because the foundation has already been set by the apostles, the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, this is why we have church. This is why we come together as a body, not only a church here, but as a body as a whole, because we're being fitly joined together, watch this, in holiness, because why? We're being set apart. Amen. Why? All because of the power of the resurrection. Right? So, I know some of us visit other churches. I know some of us listen to other messages. That's fine. But I'm here to tell you this, what, 52 weeks in a year?
Yeah.
52 weeks in a year. 52 out of 52, because I was going to say a little low, but no, it should be 52 out of 52. We should be learning about the resurrection, holiness, godliness, sanctification, the fruit of the Spirit, character of Christ. All these things we should be learning. How else are we going to come together and be built up, separated, and holy? Fit it together. Right? But no, we want to go somewhere and we want to learn about knowledge. Knowledge is not going to get you saved. Knowledge is not going to keep you saved. I don't care what biblical school you go to, what seminary you go to, all you're getting is knowledge. That's the majority of what you're getting. And that's not going to keep you. And most of the time, it causes people to drift. Because you're thinking that's your time of spending time in fellowship and worship with the Lord. It's not. It's not. You need that one-on-one time with the Lord. Outside of when you come here. You need that prayer time.
Amen.
Go to Galatians chapter 2. Just one chapter in front. When you have it, say amen. Alright, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life that I now live, guess what? Even though I'm born again, the life that I now live, it's not unto me. It's unto Christ Jesus. And this is what we have to remember. It's not about me. Did Jesus die and be raised from the dead so I can be rich? No. Nope, not at all. Did Jesus die and be raised from the dead so I can live my best life now? No, because if I live my best life now, it's about me. Did Jesus die and rise from the dead so I could hurt people? So I could take advantage of people? No. But see, we here, and y'all heard me talk about it before, we here in churches. That's right. The church is supposed to be a hospital where hurting people come in, right? Because, you know, hurting people hurt people. No. I've been crucified. I've been buried. And I have risen. So I live. So I'm not trying to hurt people. So the devil is a liar. But we got people saying that, Christians saying that over and over in an effort to try to drill people in. No, you better talk about Christ's resurrection and the judgment.
That's right.
That's what's going to get people into the house of God. That's what's going to get people into the kingdom. But no. That's okay. It's okay if you hurt somebody. That's okay. Don't judge. You a liar. That's not in the scriptures. That's not even scriptural. See, we say all these things, and it's not even scriptural, but we say these things because it sounds good to our flesh. It's our flesh. That's right. Crucify. So when we say those things, then guess what? We're still dead. We're still living to our old life and how we used to be. All right, so let's get these points. So because he lives, guess what? I live. So that means because he lives and I have been raised to live under him, that means I should lay down my life. Yeah, we say yes. Right? We say yes. That was a loud yes. But see, I know for a fact there are a lot of Christians that will not lay down their life for somebody else. And I'll go a step further. There are unsaved people that will lay down their life before a Christian will. Right? Oh, how do I know that? Well, you got military people, right? You got first responders, EMS, firefighters, police officers. They'll lay down their life in a minute, and they're not even saved, a lot of them, right? But we got Christians that won't even lay down their life for their brother and sister in Christ, right? And watch this. It's not even just laying down your life in the natural and giving up your life, but laying down your life and not making it about you, and making it about your brother and sister in Christ or somebody else. Meaning, hey, I'm not going to be selfish, right? It may be inconvenient, but that's okay. I'm still doing. Why? Because I'm going to lay down my life. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. When you have it, say amen. All right. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Through love. Right? Because now, because he lives, and I live, and I don't live unto me, but I live unto him, I can serve other people. Right? So, even when Byron asked for a ride the other day, you know what he texted me? He said, hey, pastor, is there anybody in the church that would be willing to give me a ride? Right? And I said, well, said to myself, I said, self, it's kind of late. So, well, it wasn't late. He actually texted me, I think, a couple hours before service, right? But I said, okay, let me work this out in my head. Let me pray. So I said, okay, I called Marsha. I said, we have to drive separately. So I went out my way to go get Byron. And that's okay, right? Joan did it when Marie couldn't drive, right? That's what we're supposed to do,
amen.
Right? But some of us, we won't do that, right? Byron, call somebody else, text somebody else, right? But these are the things that are laying down our lives for somebody, right? It's not just giving up your life, giving up the air in you, but it's doing things for other people. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. When you have it, say amen. let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. See, we can't be the one to say, all right, I got my prayer request. That's it, I'm good. Or I got my testimony. Let me tell my testimony. Let me tell my testimony. No, you might not need to share your testimony. Every time you don't have to speak. Why? Let somebody else speak. That is laying down your life. Right? It is not just in church, but it's upon our jobs. Well, I'm not doing it purposely. I figured by your laughing I was, but I don't know what you're laughing at. But I'll find out later. So it's no longer I who live, but I live for Christ. Why? Because he lives, I live. I'm not who I used to be. So back in 1 Corinthians 15, it says what? Paul says this. He says, he tells us Jesus was seen by what? Peter himself, over 500, right? Point number two, if he lives, right? Because he lives, then who has seen you resurrected? Or when they see you, do they see you how you used to be? Right? Because when they see us, they should see a new creation. Amen. Why? Because old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, no, that's sister so-and-so. Oh, that's deaconess so-and-so. Oh, they're acting this way. Nope. Lies. That's not being raised from the dead. That's somebody who's still in their old nature. Attitude, walking around with a prune face, rude to everybody in the house of God, out of all places. But then talk about, oh, they love the unsaved. You're a liar. You're a liar. No, it can't happen. Right? People have to see us as we are now, living for him. Why? Because we're new creations. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. So because he lives, I live. Amen. We live. You live. Amen. And you know what? It's not just the sins of fornication and things like that. But it's even in the worry, the anxiety, the fear, those things. And again, it doesn't mean it won't attack us. Right? But this is when we submit to the Lord. Why? Because it's his power that brings healing. It's his power that brings deliverance. Amen. Last point. Because he lives, guess what? I don't take his resurrection in vain. Right? Well, how do we take his resurrection in vain? All right? So I hear people say this. And I'm going to step on toes with this, but that's okay. I'm going to give you scripture. All right? I'm going to give you scripture. As a born-again believer, we should never, never say, I'm not worthy. Before you came to Christ, you could say, you are not worthy. When you received, you stand, and you hold fast. I promise you, you are worthy. Because when you say, I'm not worthy, you take the Lord's death and resurrection in vain. Don't get me wrong. He didn't deserve to come down and face what he faced. But guess what? He came so we can be worthy. Because see, when you go before a king, most times on this earth, you're not even the president. You're not worthy to go into their throne room, into their office space, into the Oval Office of the president. But he says we can come boldly to the throne room of grace. So how dare you say you're not worthy? Oh my gosh. Go back to 1 Corinthians 9. Because see, this is where some of this garbage comes from. People not reading. People not reading. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. We there? Alright. 1 Corinthians 9. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So let's stop right there, because most people do stop right there. He says he's least. Why? Because he's saying he used to persecute the church. So and then that, see, the other apostles, guess what? They walked with Jesus. They watched Jesus pray for people. They served with Jesus. Paul didn't. And actually, not Paul, Saul didn't. See, and what he did was he persecuted the church. He imprisoned them. He consented to their death. And he brutalized the church. He went walking on a journey with other people because he got permission to go arrest Christians. But Jesus said what? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And see, Saul had one or two choices. He could have kept on going and not heard. But no, Saul, he heard. He surrendered, right? And guess what? He now became apostle. So where people stop at verse 9, let's start at 10. What do I say about buts? Buts disregards everything in front of it. Right? So he says that in verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. In verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. What did Popeye say? I am what I am. Right? I am what I am. It doesn't matter what I used to be, because by the grace of God, I am what I am. So, regardless if I was a murderer, regardless if I was an adulterer, fornicator, whatever it is, by the grace of God, I can be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, deacon, elder, missionary, holy. It doesn't matter, because it's by the grace of God. So I am what I am. So how dare we say we're not worthy? Are you kidding me? We better read. We better read. Reading is what? Fundamental? Is that what it said? That was that the old commercial? Right? Reading is fundamental? Reading is, yeah, something like that. Close enough. Reading is fundamental to your Christian walk. And a lot of Christians are not reading. They gone off of what somebody said. Oh, we're not worthy for this. We're not. You're a liar. You better get back in that scripture and read. Amen. I said I was going to give you scriptures. Hold on. Let's go to Acts 26. But while you're turning there, I'll give it one. So Luke chapter 7 says that we're going to go to Acts 26, but I'm going to paraphrase for time's sake. Remember when the centurion sent his friends over to Jesus for him to come and heal his servant?
Yes.
Right? And then Jesus is on his way there. The scripture says, hey, when Jesus almost got there, the centurion says, you know what? He sent his friends to say, no, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come up under my roof. Why? Because he wasn't living right. But see, here's the thing. He said what? Speak the word. And Jesus what? He spoke the word. He healed him. Right? And he says what? I haven't seen such authority, such faith, even with the Jewish people. Right? But see, he thought he wasn't worthy. But Jesus thought he was worthy. That's why Jesus was going. See, because Jesus was going to witness to him. Jesus was going to allow him to see. But see, he thought he wasn't worthy. So he could have had Jesus Christ up under his roof. But because he thought he wasn't worthy, he said, nope, stop. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And we got people preaching this behind the pulpit. I'm not worthy. All right, we there? Acts 26, hope so. I gave you enough time. All right. Acts 26, verse 19. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient in the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting of repentance. So now we have Paul here now, because by the grace of God, he's able to go forth and witness. Why? Because Paul recognized that he was worthy. All right, let's go to Acts 13. Acts 13, same book, 46. Acts 13, verse 46. Yep, Acts 13, chapter 13, verse 46. All right. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. So thank God the Jews rejected him. Because guess what? They weren't worthy. They wouldn't receive the gospel. So that means if they wasn't worthy, the fact that I'm a Gentile, you're a Gentile, we receive the gospel means we are worthy of the gospel. So how dare we say we're not worthy? See, I am so worthy that God would allow me to enter into the kingdom and he takes vengeance on my enemies. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, turn there. We're almost done. We there? Second Thessalonians chapter 1. All right, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting because of your faith, because your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Verse 5. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we are worthy to enter into the kingdom. But look what he says here in verse 8. He says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, but he doesn't stop there, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are weeds that are in the church. Right? Those are them. Right? All right. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Don't follow the leads of other people who say, oh, we're not worthy. We're not. Hey, look, they're not worthy, and they need to be with these Jews that rejected the gospel. Because I'm worthy. You're worthy. And it's by God's grace that I'm worthy. All right, we're there in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Look at this. If we weren't worthy, why would Jesus say this? He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So, yes, if you have family members, if you have jobs, money, all these materialistic things, the world ahead of Jesus Christ, you are 100%, you're not worthy. But if you have Jesus Christ in his proper place in your life, in your heart, you are worthy. You are worthy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Colossians 1:10 says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That means walking in what? Holiness, righteousness, right? Fruits of repentance, right? That's what allows us to be worthy. Why? Because if we don't do these things, then we take the Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection in vain, folks. When we walk around sinning, hurting people, we take his death and resurrection in vain. So that tells me, that shows me, why the church is as dark as it is today. Because we don't understand the power of his resurrection. We're not standing on the power of his resurrection. We're standing on Jesus being a baby in a manger. But he's a Lion of Judah.
Hallelujah.
How dare we say, like that, so keep. How dare we say we're not worthy? Because if we died with him, we were buried with him, and we rose with him, oh, we're worthy. We should be walking in victory.
Yes.
With capital letters. Right? Doesn't mean obstacles won't come against us. Okay? Obstacles gonna come. Right? And the thing about it is, obstacles came against the Apostle Paul. Because Jesus told Ananias, I must show him the things that he must suffer. Right? And the thing about it is, he knew ahead of time because Jesus told him. We don't know ahead of time. So Paul had to say, I'll go back to persecuting. It was easier to do that. But he didn't do that. He surrendered his heart. Right? But many of us, we face the trials and the tribulations, and we're like, no, stop. I'm good, Lord. Enough is enough. Right? And you know what? It's okay to ask the Lord for a break. It is. I've done that before. It's okay to ask the Lord for a break. Right? I'm not going to take that. I have done it before. Right? And he will give us a break. Right? But we have to keep pressing. See, some of y'all see me, and see, even people, I had a doctor's appointment. It was for an ear, and it was an ear and nose doctor I had to see. I don't know what they call, but ear and nose. So, anyway, she didn't even know why they referred me to her. She didn't know all that I've been through. She knew, well, I take that back. She knew why they referred me, but she didn't know all that I've been through. And she said, you know, Mr. Wickfall, you don't look like you've been through anything. And I said, praise God. But see, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But see, here's the thing. What y'all don't realize, I be hurting up here. Y'all don't realize I am physically drained when I come home from work. When I, even going out to the car, I am drained. Right? And I learned a long time ago, Pastor Venable, he said, he pulled me aside one time. This was years ago in Connecticut. And he said, you know, people, I pray for people all the time. And they get healed and delivered, and they don't even realize the things that I'm going through. And he don't even tell nobody. And see, even when Paul talked about the things he was going through in Corinthians, he said, look, I don't even want to tell these things. But because you had these other ministers that were speaking down against him, he felt he had to say these things. But he felt uncomfortable saying it. But I don't even tell y'all everything. Right? And I even tell the doctors, I said, I think my job think I'm faking. Because everybody say, brother, you look good. I just, all I say, just glory to God. Because trust me, I don't feel good physically. Right? But he keeps me even when I'm up here. He keeps me up here. Why? Because I lay down my life for him. I lay down my life. So even the days I don't feel like it, even the days I'm coming here, I'm tired, I lay down my life for him. So how dare any of you say, nah, I don't feel like going to church today. Oh, I'm going to say it. Alright, I'm going to say it. Alright, because you haven't been through what I've been through. Right? It is what it is. You've been through some things, yeah. Right? But we got to press on. Why? Because he lives, I live. And I'm going to live unto him. And I'm going to do for him what he has called me to do. Regardless of what it looks like. Regardless of what it feels like. I'm going to continue to press on. Amen. 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 So understand, Jesus died and rose so we can die, so we can rise, and we can live unto him. Right? Stop listening to the strange doctrine. You better make them show you scripture. And I got plenty of more about the worthiness, but Lord didn't want me to go there. But I can find it if you want to know. Actually, you know what? Google it. Go get a concordance and Google it yourself. That'll be your homework assignment. for yourself. I'm not going to ask you about it. But we have to know who we are.
Yes.
We have to stop walking around defeated. We have to walk in the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
Right? Regardless of what people say, regardless of what people do, we have to stand on the truth. And the truth being Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone.
Yes.
Right? Some of us are not standing on that. Some of us are standing on our opinions. Some of us are standing on our own feelings, our own emotions, but we're not standing on the Word of God. That's what's going to keep us. That is the power, His power of the resurrection. So if you remember anything, live unto Him. If you don't remember anything, remember this. Live unto Him. And remember the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Because if we don't have that revelation, I have to question if you're a Christian. Right? Doesn't mean we may not need encouragement here and there. That's okay. That's normal. Because we're human beings. Right? But I don't want to hear no pastor talking about, woe is me. And see, I said it before. A lot of pastors would have took advantage of what I went through if it was them. Everybody feels sorry for me. No, I didn't even tell y'all half the stuff I went through. Y'all heard the testimony. But there's other things. Right? But it doesn't matter. Because I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to live for Him. We have to live for Him and stop feeling sorry. See, and here's the thing also. See, many of us, we don't realize other people will see us as being worthy. But because we keep looking back at the things that we used to do, we don't think ourselves as worthy. So we can't see beyond the things that we used to do. Because the enemy keeps throwing that up. And a lot of times it's not even the enemy. It's our own shame. That's thought of, oh, you used to do this. Oh, you used to do it. Yeah, I did a lot of things. I don't care. I don't care. Because I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So even when I come across friends that I haven't talked to in high school, they'll try to joke and say things because they're thinking it's the old me. Right? But they have to spend the time. Oh, then they joke around the other way. Call me Deacon Fry and other things. But that's okay. I know who I am. And guess what? Now they know who I am. So even there, I have a friend that grew up in New York. He moved to South Carolina. So when I go to South Carolina, I visit him. So his sister-in-law, she would come over and she would drink. And then she'd say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. She starts being convicted. Right? I'm like, hey, you do you. Be you. I'm not here to judge you. Just like people at work. You talk with you how you want to talk. Because I have the Holy Spirit that's keeping me. You don't. But the fact that they feel convicted. Exactly. That's good. And see, I don't even tell people I'm saved. They know. And matter of fact, when I'm standing at the desk and other officers around, they start talking. And they're like, look, that's the pastor. That's pastor. Watch your mouth. And I'm like, look, be who you are. Right? But we got people that got to go around, let everybody know I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. You don't know who you are. How about you just live for Him? Because you're telling people because you're insecure. You don't know who you are. Right? But we have to stop looking back at the things that we used to do. Some of us are afraid to share our testimonies. Now, I'm not saying you have to tell everything. You don't tell everything. Don't tell everything. So don't get it twisted. All right? You don't tell everything. You be selectful on who you're going to tell everything to. All right? But everybody don't need to know everything. Right? But the fact that if He lives and we live, why are we afraid to share our testimony? Why are we afraid to share the things? Why? Because that's no longer me. Right? I'm no longer hanging out at the club, messing around with women, committing adultery. I'm not doing those things. Right? No matter what somebody tries to bring back to me, I'm no longer those things.
Right?
By the grace of God. Right? And some of us, we can't see, so we end up like Lot's wife, stuck, frozen, becoming a pillar of salt because we don't understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? Now, I preached this a couple of times before, but not to you all. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to stop. Actually, I'm not going to say it. I just wanted to read this. Romans chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to just read it. And I just want y'all to listen. I'm going to read Romans 6, verses 1 through 18. This is the Apostle Paul. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. That's that resurrection. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. See, we don't read those scriptures in church. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Right? So we die. If he died, we die. We should no longer be slaves to sin. Amen. I'm going to stop right there, and we ain't going to say no more. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Heavenly Father God. Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the resurrection of Christ, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that for allowing us to be grafted into your kingdom, Lord God. Allowing us to be a part of your holy temple, Lord God, whom you reside in, O Heavenly Father God. So I'm praying, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord God. Help us to live, Father God, a resurrected life unto Christ Jesus, Lord God. Not unto ourselves, not unto other people, Lord God, but unto you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So I'm praying, Father God, that you will give us the strength, Father God. Give us the strength to crucify our flesh, to crucify our thoughts, Lord God, to crucify our emotions, our feelings, the things that don't line up with you, Lord God, even a wicked imagination, Lord God. Help us, Father God, to crucify those things, Lord God, and to shoot down those fiery darts, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, knowing, Father God, that you have called us for such a time as this, Lord God. So, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for counting us worthy, Lord, to be a part of your kingdom, Lord God, bearing fruits of repentance, Lord God, being a salt and light, Father God, allowing us to be worthy to enter into your kingdom, Lord God, to be kingdom-minded Christians, Lord God, by your grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father God. So I'm praying, Father God, that we will no longer see ourselves as unworthy, Lord God, but by your grace, Lord God, we will see ourselves as worthy because you count us as worthy, Lord God. For you didn't send Jesus to suffer for nothing, Lord God. So we will not take these things for granted, Lord God. We will not take these things in vain, Lord God. But Lord God, we will count it for joy, Lord God. Knowing, Lord God, you are such a good, good Father. And we just thank you for your presence, Lord God. Your presence in our lives, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. So I pray even now, Father God, that even as we depart this place, Lord God, that you will continue to be with us, Father God, that you will provide safe travel for us, O Heavenly Father God. And we thank you, Lord God, because you live, Lord God. We can face tomorrow and not look back at the past, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, you have washed the past away, Lord God. Yesterday is gone, Lord God. Tomorrow is near, but today is here and now, Father God. For you want us to live in a here and a now, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. So we thanking you, Father God. So I'm praying even now, Father God, for any type of healing, Father God. Emotional, mental, physical healing, Father God, that anyone in here may be dealing with, Father God. I'm praying right now that you will touch us, Father God. You will touch us, Lord God, and that we will turn our knees over to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Sometimes we think that we may need something, Lord God, but it may be our wants, Lord God. So I'm praying, Father God, that you would give us the strength to endure, Lord God. Give us the strength to endure, Father God, and continue to fight the good fight of faith, Father God. So I'm praying that our faith will fail us not, Lord God. We just thank you, Father God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, thank you, Jesus. Amen.